This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Lunch with Lloyd.
Hi guys, welcome along to this podcast. It's Mark Lloyd from Lunch with Lloyd. What's the one thing that you keep buying no matter how many you've already got? For me, it's vinyl albums and it's music t-shirts, but we had some very, very interesting ones on the show. We went on a regular Wednesday wander with Nada, and she took us out to Sharjah to the Rain Room and the Fen Cafe. Just for kids, we had lots to look forward to with Kids App at the weekend, with a few staycations and brunches, and we headed up into the solar system where Patrick and Mikkel told us all about World Asteroid Day, and boy did we learn a lot about asteroids. And we taught film as well, and a very interesting short film starring people of determination. That's Hello, Hello. We spoke to the director about that. Enjoy, and don't forget to join me live on the show, of course, weekdays from 11 o'clock on Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Lunch with Lloyd
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
What's the one thing that no matter how many of them you own, you'll always have the urge to buy more? What about you, Poonam? What's the one thing? What comes to mind, first of all?
I think this has happened most of my life, actually. A lot of women will relate to this. I bought 50 more of these 2 days ago, and that's hair bands. Because my hair goes down sometimes and in a ponytail. And when I take it off, I just throw my hairband away. Or what? I put it somewhere and I just lose them. So if you want to buy me any presents, buy me hairbands.
Hairbands, you know now, listeners. That's what Poonam wants for a birthday or maybe the festive season. It's hairbands. So how many do you get through? I mean, do you lose one a day or is
it
more?
Do you know, the other day, I was so lazy. I was in my bed and I threw it on the table and it went behind the table. So I was like, how many hairbands are behind my desk that I haven't even found? And then at work I'll put it down and I'll lose it.
Right.
It's a good job I don't have a baby. I'd lose the baby.
For me, it would definitely be either music t-shirts with, you know, bands on them, and I don't know, David Bowie or John Lennon or Rod Stewart t-shirts, and the other one is definitely vinyl albums. And it's got to the point with the vinyl album thing where I do have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, but I'm always in the record shop nearly every weekend and I have to smuggle them in now.
Okay, I have an idea. I think you need to open your own record store now.
Do you think so?
You've got so many vinyls.
Oh, I couldn't flog them though. No way could I sell them.
Okay,
I mean,
you just come and listen.
People
and play.
Can come in and have a look.
Yes,
but
yes.
Please leave and don't buy them. It's got to the point where I have to smuggle them in without the wife knowing.
Oh, you're at that stage.
I am at that stage, you know, so I either take another bag and put the vinyl in that bag, or if I've got kind of a denim baggy jacket on, I'll shove it under my arm there. Those are the two for me: music t-shirts or vinyl albums. So, guys, what's the one thing that no matter how many of them you already have, you'll always have the urge to buy more? We're going to the telephone lines. Alison, a very good morning to you, Alison. Spill the beans. What is it for you?
Well, I said notebooks, but it's actually not just notebooks. It's just stationery in general.
That is amazing. My very great friend who I used to broadcast with, sadly no longer with us, is Jason. And he used to be obsessed with stationery. Every time we went out on trips, we went to cover the Oscars, we went all over the place. First thing, he had to find a stationery shop. What is it about stationery, Alison?
I don't know. It looks pretty.
It looks pretty, but I mean, do you actually write letters with them or do you write notes in them? You know, do you use them?
I use some of them and some of them sit there empty. Notebooks, highlighters, folders. And my daughter has inherited it, unfortunately.
Has she really? I can just imagine coming to your house, it's going to be filled with all this stationery. I mean, on average, how many times do you visit a stationery shop?
Well, we don't go to shops often these days, but I would say at least once a month, maybe twice a month.
So are you ordering online as well?
Occasionally, no. Mostly it's shops.
Shops,
I
well...
I get sucked in. I try to walk past and I get sucked in.
Yeah, well, good for you. You're not alone on that. Sushil as well has messaged in saying, lots and lots of stationery, mainly pens. Thanks for that, Alison. We're going to go to line number two, where Mandy is with us today. Mandy, how are you?
Hello, Mark. I'm very well, thank you.
Fantastic. So, Mandy, tell me, what is it for you when it's, you know, you've already got so many of them, but you just got to buy more?
Candles. Scented candles. Every candle possible. I want it. I want it. And I need it.
Really? Candles are quite an obsession for you. I mean, how many have you got in stock at the moment, do you reckon, Mandy?
Don't ask. I've got the loose ones, I've got the boxed ones, I must be having about over 100, 200 candles.
That's a fantastic, I love that.
It's not enough.
I mean, when do you use them? I mean, is it maybe when you take a bath or, I mean, do you use them every night?
I use them every day. So when I do take a bath, I light candles. I light them around the house. I light them in the evening when I'm sitting watching TV and relaxing. End of the day, have to have candles. I pray with candles. I'd put it in the car if I could.
Have you got a favourite candle?
Can I say the shop's name?
Go on, then.
Well, I love the IKEA candles.
Okay.
They're cheap and cheerful, and I love them. And there's another one also I like. I've forgotten the name now. It's one of the organic candles.
Right. Nice. I'll tell you.
I love anything with the nice scent, with the nice smell.
Yeah, the smell is great, isn't it? I must say, the best candles I've ever bought were in Thailand, and you can actually watch them being made on the roadside there with the candle makers. Absolutely brilliant. I love that one, Mandy. Thanks for your call. We've got Fraser on line three. Good morning, Fraser. How are you?
Morning. Very well, thank you. How are you?
You're the Fraser that's into the cars, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm into the car now. Just come out of the traffic jam.
I know.
The 311.
Has it cleared now?
Yeah, they're clearing it up. They're just dragging some stuff off the road. But it was pretty intense.
Now, I would have thought, finances permitting, that, you know, it would be cars for you. No matter how many cars you've got, you still want to buy more.
No. It's crisps. I want crisps.
Crisps?
Yeah. You can't have enough crisps.
So, you go and buy, like, a six-pack of crisps, and then, oh, that's not enough, I've got to go and get
more.
Behave
yourself.
Yeah.
Six-pack? You can get them in 14s now.
14s? Times have moved on since I was buying potato. What's your favourite flavour, Fraser?
I don't really care.
Have you got any in the car?
No, there aren't any. And that was the problem in the traffic jam.
Yeah. Just imagine if you'd have had a load of crisps, you'd have been a happy guy, yeah?
I would have been very happy, yes. They could have kept me in the traffic jam for the rest of the morning.
Fraser, always appreciate your calls. And thanks for the traffic update as well there. We're talking what's the one thing that no matter how many of them you actually own, you'll always have the urge to buy more of them. Thank you, Claire, for your message. Can never have enough lip balms. Okay, that's yours. And Aris, in our house, it would have to be tea. Lots of varieties of tea. We're going to go to the lines. Sarah joins us on the show. Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
Very, very good. And thanks for your message. So tell me a little bit about what it is for you. No matter how many you buy, you always want to buy more.
Yeah, I would love to buy plants and plants all the time. Either I go to IKEA, either I go to Home Center, either I go to 1 to 10 day shop.
Really?
So
you've got a house full of plants. Do you have any favorite kinds, or will any plant do?
Yes, I love lavenders.
Yeah.
And due to season, it's not like growing that much. I love lilies. So jasmine, I love that. So usually I buy indoor plants.
Yeah.
And nowadays, because it's the short balcony, my balcony is full of the plants.
Is it really?
And the best part is that with the plants, I always used to buy LED lights.
Right.
Decorate around.
So does it give you a lot of pleasure then? Do you go and sit out on the balcony and admire your plants every morning?
Yeah, definitely.
So what are you going to be doing this weekend? Are you going to be off to buy yourself some more plants, some more specimens? You know, is it kind of a weekly thing that you head out and do that?
No, not decided yet, actually. There's no plan for the weekend right now.
Okay.
But probably go for shopping, maybe.
All right, well, I wish you well. I mean, if you had to put a figure on it, a number on it, I mean, how many plants do you reckon you have on your balcony?
I have, 8 plants in my balcony.
You've got 8 in the balcony, yeah.
Yeah, 8 in the balcony. Some are big, some are small because of the size of my balcony.
Okay.
And around 8 in my house.
Right. Okay. Well,
yeah. And the artificial plants are different. Like, I'm talking about the real plants.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Thanks so much for your call, Sarah. We're talking about some things that we've got lots of collections of, but we just cannot resist the urge to buy more. We've had a lot of people saying stationery, whether it's pens, whether it's notebooks. A lot of you as well into your plants. Not only Sarah, but earlier on we had a message from Rajani. The one thing I love to buy every time is fresh plants. Despite having loads of them at home, I'm obsessed to buying plants to extend my home. It's a mini jungle. Thanks for that, Rajani. Thank you, Riette. Hair accessories for my daughter is your weakness. Another one of our listeners saying cushions. It's really mad. We've got Chris joining us on the line. Good afternoon, Chris. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, Mark.
Great stuff. So what is it for you then? You know, things that you've already got plenty of, probably got more than enough of, but you just cannot resist buying more?
Yeah, for me, is what gets me in trouble most is beautiful wristwatches.
Wristwatches, you know? Right.
Yeah.
So how many do you think you own already then, Chris?
I don't know. I can't count. I have a lot of them.
What is it? I mean, do you go for the really expensive ones or the cheaper versions? What, you know, what kind of watches really do you like to collect?
No, it doesn't matter the price or expensive. Once it catches my fancy, I love to go for it.
So are you going to be out shopping for wristwatches at the weekend?
I'm not sure because my missus is frowning right now.
Yeah, I mean, do you have to kind of, you know, smuggle them in undercover so that...
Sure, yeah, to keep my sanity, you know.
Chris, great to chat with you.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Lunch with Lloyd.
You certainly are, a morning one and all. Next up, we go to the lines, and what would Wednesdays be without a wander with Nada? Nada Badran joins us on the show. Nada, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mark?
Fantastic. Do you have something that no matter how many you own, you always got the urge to buy more and more, like Claire's lip balms or plants or varieties of tea?
Oh, absolutely. I would say for me, it's books. I swear, my house looks like a library.
Is it really?
Yes. I just keep, you know, finding books that I'm just interested in and yeah. Then, you know, file them here. And like, I have a section, which is the to read section.
Okay.
And then the ones that I've finished in another corner. And I just try to go as many through them just as I can throughout the year.
So how many times do you go buying books? Is it kind of a weekly thing? Is it quite an obsession for you?
Yeah, I would say probably every week.
Really?
Yes. I mean, they don't necessarily have to be like the thick, big books. They're just, you know, books that I see as I'm maybe wandering through the mall, the bookstores.
Yeah.
And I pick them up and then just bring them back home.
Right. So what's on the to-do list for this weekend then? Do you know what book you're going to be getting your nose into?
Well, there's a book that I've been meaning to finish for a few months. I'm almost embarrassed to say it's taken me probably about 6 months to just finish from the cover to end. And that book is called Sapiens.
Okay, so you're going to have a go at that one maybe this weekend. Anyway, that's your obsession when it comes to buying things that you've already got lots of, but you still need more. Let's start some wandering. And where are you going to take us this week, Nada?
Well, this week I visited the Rain Room in Sharjah.
The Rain Room. I've seen photographs of this and I've heard of it. I've never been, but it sounds like the perfect escape for summer.
Oh, my God, yes. It's especially brilliant when it feels like 100 degrees outside.
Yeah.
And it's this immersive installation where you walk through this downpour of rain without getting wet whatsoever.
So you don't get wet. How does that work?
I know. So the way that it works is that they've created this underground space, which is darkened. So it first takes your eyes maybe a couple of seconds to adjust.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of this black room, it is raining. The rain falls in like a square, and there's a single spotlight that guides you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look up at the ceiling, they have these motion sensors that track your movements when you enter the square. And so whenever a human body is detected, the rain stops in the area that you're standing in. So you're then walking through this rainstorm practically
yeah.
without getting a single drop of water on you, even though you're surrounded by what feels like a storm.
That's ingenious, isn't it? I wonder how they managed to put that together. And does it take you quite some time, or can you stay in there as long as you like?
Well, they actually have the visit scheduled for a 15-minute slot.
Yeah.
Which is, I'd say, probably plenty of time. You have to really kind of move slowly so that you give the cameras enough time to detect you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll feel a few droplets of rain. And of course, if you run, you'll probably be drenched. Okay. But the idea behind it really is cool because it wants to give people the opportunity to kind of experience something that you would normally find impossible, and that's the ability to control rain.
This sounds really unusual. I mean, is there anything else that we can do there? You know, once we've done our rain kind of experience for 15 minutes, is there anything else to explore?
Yeah, so, I mean, at the rain room itself, that's basically the experience. And, you know, just to even elaborate further, the sound of the rain falling, the darkness, the smell, it's really quite intense. And in a way, it's kind of therapeutic. So, like, when you listen to sounds of nature in the woods or the sound of maybe, like, waves in the ocean,
yeah,
it really gives you this clear-headed calm, which is super relaxing. So after, you know, you finish from there, they do have an on-site cafe that you can sit down in. But what I did is I made a quick drive over to this area called the Sharjah Art Foundation, where Fen Cafe and Restaurant is. I don't know if you've been there before.
No, I've not been to Fen Cafe. So tell me more about it. And obviously it's got a real emphasis on art.
Yes, exactly. So it is basically located in Sharjah's historical district. It's a wonderful, cozy space. The venue is actually split between these two adjoining houses, both which are named after the families that actually lived there once upon a time.
Yeah.
So they've restored these houses beautifully. And so you really still could feel like you're walking into someone's private home. They show the traditional architecture that was used in this former residential neighborhood. They've got these lovely courtyards where families would gather. But today, considering it's a cafe, they've just made it into a place where you can just go dine. They serve meals for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And their dessert menu had my name written all over it.
Did it really? What was it?
So I opted for it's called the Uve Leche Flan, which is apparently the house favorite. It's a purple yam cake with cream caramel.
Oh, nice. That's unusual, isn't it? Sounds a little bit different. So you enjoyed the food there as well?
Yeah, so I definitely enjoyed the food there. I mean, all in all, there's also a few things that you can do in the area. So
yeah.
In the same Sharjah Art Foundation and even just close nearby, there's the Sharjah Museum of Islamic Civilization, which is a great place to go check out. There's the Sharjah Art Museum as well, which has some really, really incredible artworks from Arab artists. Further down, you've got the Maritime Museum. So if you want to kind of learn about the UAE's pearl diving history, and their boat building as well. And if you even drive out a little further, you remember the House of Wisdom that I talked about maybe a few months back?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so that's also in Sharjah, and they're all just great stops to go visit, venture out to. It's a perfect, like, half-day trip.
It sounds like a brilliant day out, combining all of those things, maybe starting out with the rain room and, you know, then taking in some art.
Yep, exactly. So they do have different exhibitions running in those different galleries. So you get, you know, a little bit of everything, whether it's history, whether it's architecture, art. I mean, it's just really a one-stop shop for all things great.
Brilliant, Nada. That's a rather good wander over to Sharjah's Rain Room and to the Fen Cafe, which is nearby. If people want to follow you, Nada, on social media and find out some of the things that you do, where do they need to head to?
WanderWithNada.com and on social media at WanderWithNada.
Lovely, Nada. Thanks, as always, for bringing us another fantastic place that we might want to explore this weekend.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Lunch with Lloyd.
Yeah, great to have your company for lunch on this Wednesday. Now, what are we going to be doing with the kids this weekend? The man with all the answers from Kids App joins us, Karim. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Well, actually, I'm okay. All that thinking about summer camps and planning summer camps has gotten me a bit stressed out. So I figured it's time for a small daycation, actually.
Daycations in Dubai and in Abu Dhabi for all of the family to keep the kids well and truly entertained. So you've dug out a few for us. Let's get started. Where are you going to take us? On the Palm, I believe.
Yes, let's start over on the Palm. I mean, everybody knows how gorgeous it is over there and how amazing some of the views from the hotels are. We're heading first to Jukes on the Palm. So basically, we've got 50% off full-day pool and beach access and complimentary drinks. It's going to be every day from 10 a.m. until 9 p.m. You've got to pre-book 24 hours ahead, and kids under 6 are free.
Okay, all the details, of course, on Kids App. Now, if we really want to push the boat out and go rather posh, how about Emirates Palace?
So here's an opportunity to go rather posh, but at an amazing price. So I think everybody knows about Emirates Palace.
Yep.
They have an amazing Greek restaurant called Cascades in front of the waterfalls and sea grottos. Really beautiful. The offer is valid Sundays to Thursdays, full pool and beach access all day, Cascade menu included, children under 3 free, and it's only $220 for adults and $75 for kids, and the best part is everything you spend on the entry, you can actually use it on food. So you're effectively paying for a nice brunch and having full access to all the facilities, and they include really nice water parks and kids clubs.
That's a goodie, isn't it? Very, very reasonable is that one. Now then, the Wave House, popular place. Tell me more about what's going on there.
Okay, so I keep talking about the Wave House because, frankly, I love that place. It's basically an upscale bowling experience, and they have VR activities and a really fun climbing space, as well as surfing if you book in advance.
Mm-hmm.
They got great food and great beverages. It's on. The offer is on every day except Tuesday starting from 12. It's basically 15% off set menus for everybody. So even if you come with, you know, 6-7 people, you get 15% off the whole menu, starting at 170 dirhams instead of 199.
Okay, that's Wave House. Now, if we fancy going Thai, Dusit Thani, it doesn't get any more authentic than that. What can the family avail of over there this weekend?
So this is more of a brunch than a vacation, but I thought I'd throw it in there.
Yeah.
If you love Asian food, it's the place to go. Seafood, sushi, live Asian cooking stations, you know, Indian favorites as well, and lavish desserts. That's on Friday from noon until 3 p.m. We've got a buy one, get one there. So basically you pay $259, not for one person, but for two people. So it's an amazing saving.
Okay, Dusit Thani then, that's a goodie. And we've got a couple of Jumeirah properties as well that you've got great discounts at on that Kids App, starting with the Hilton Jumeirah Beach.
Yeah, so this is one of, I have a lot of nostalgia for Hilton Jumeirah Beach. When I first came to Dubai some 14, 15 years ago,
yeah,
we were in Marina. We used to go to the Hilton, to the pool and the beach almost every day before I started my first job here. It was a lot of fun, and I'd love to go back there as a family. So the offer that we have there now is for the Friday brunch and pool and beach access.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we've got about 40% off. And that comes to around 129, depending on the F&B package you take. And kids under 6 are free.
That's a nice one, isn't it? Yeah, kids under 6 for free. That's the Doubletree by Hilton at Jumeirah Beach. Right, we're going to wrap up down in my part of town, the Jumeirah Creekside Hotel, just next to the Irish Village there. And you've got a deal there.
Yeah, so we've got up to 30% off. It's, again, a family brunch. You can enjoy, they've got a really nice restaurant, Nomad Pots and Boards. You can enjoy 30% off there. And then it includes pool access. So right after your meal, you can go and take a refreshing dip. That's available Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. And that's over, as you said, Creekside in Kosei Sukarhud area.
Nice one. So plenty of things, whether it's brunches or staycations. You can find all the details once again on Kids App. Kareem, have a fantastic weekend. What are you going to be adding up to yourself?
So, vacation, I think I'm going to do the Emirates Palace one.
Well, very posh you are. Thanks so much, as always, Kareem, for joining us from Kids App.
This is Lunch with Lloyd
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Now, I wasn't aware when I woke up this morning that today is World Asteroid Day, but I'm certainly going to be learning a lot more about asteroids, as joining me on the show right now is Patrick Mikel. He's an international expert of asteroids and the director of research at CNRS, based at the Côte d'Azur Observatory in France. I will say a very good afternoon Dubai time to you, Patrick. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
It's a real pleasure. So how does someone like you, who's an expert on asteroids, celebrate World Asteroid Day?
By communicating with the public our passion for these fascinating objects over the whole day, actually.
Okay, now, I understand that Brian May from Queen, of course, the legendary guitar player, is one of the founders of Asteroid Day. So why was it first started?
Well, in fact, I think Brian was quickly aware of the fact that some of these objects can represent a threat, although we don't have any identified object that represent a threat for us currently. So that's a good news.
Yeah.
But he realized that actually this is a risk that is very small compared to the other natural risks like earthquakes, tsunamis, etc. But this is also the only one that we can predict and prevent with a reasonable means that just need to be implemented. So that was basically a sort of message that we are aware that there is this risk, which on the long run will concretize, and we have the means to do something about it. So let's do it.
Okay, so along with Brian May and many other experts in the field, tell me what role does an asteroid actually play in our solar system?
Yeah, in fact, asteroids are our friends, actually, because they are the best tracers of our solar system history. This is because they are very small, and therefore, compared to planets, which are big and were cooked, basically, because being big, they experience a lot of heating. So their composition has been chemically transformed by the heating process, like we cook a cake.
Yeah.
We start with ingredients, we cook them, we transform them in a cake. But when I show you a cake, it's not easy to understand what were the original ingredients. So the asteroids kept the memory of the original composition of the solar nebula in which the planet formed. So basically, they are the ingredients that allow to make the best recipe of planet formation. So they allow us to better understand how our planet formed. And in addition, some of them contain water and organic material. And we think that it's possible that they basically brought all the ingredients that made life emerge on Earth. And this is something we try to check by returning samples from asteroids.
All right. I didn't know they contain water. I've learned something there today for sure. What about them falling from the skies? I mean, does this happen a lot?
Yeah, in fact, so some of them are actually crossing the trajectory of our planet. And it's difficult to realize how often it happens because, of course, most of them go through the atmosphere and burn because they are very small. We have 2/3 of the surface of the Earth, which is made of water. So when they just impact the water, it makes ploof. And then the craters on the solid surface tend to be eroded by erosion processes like winds, plate tectonics, etc. So the best witness of impact in our inner solar system is the moon, because the moon doesn't have all these active processes on the surface. So it kept the record of all the impact that occurred over the last 4 billion years. And by analyzing the crater on the moon, we realized that we have a constant rate of impact in the inner solar system, and what holds for the moon holds for the Earth. So we know it happens, but of course, unfortunately for us, the impact frequency decreases with the size of the object. So in other words, an object of 1 kilometer in size, and there are about 1,000 of them crossing our trajectory, the trajectory of our planet, the impact of such an object occurs every 500,000 years. So it's a very low frequency.
Yeah.
And an object of 100 meter in size, which is can cause regional damages, impact the Earth every 10,000 years. So you see that we are dealing with a very low probability phenomenon, which is good for us.
Yeah. I believe you've got a funny story about an asteroid and a lady in France. Is that right?
Yeah. In fact, what's funny is that, we have meteorites on Earth, and the meteorites are pieces of asteroids that make it maybe 2 years. And one of them fell on the roof of a house in France. And the house belonged to a lady whose name is Mrs. Comet. So it's really crazy. And I always think, I hope I don't have Mr. Tsunami or Mr. Yeah. Earthquake next to me, because yeah. we never know what can happen.
Yeah, it was destined to be that, wasn't it? Where am I going to land? I'm going to land on Mrs. Comet's house. Now, I believe you've also got an asteroid with your name on it. Tell me more about that, Patrick.
Yeah, in fact, the International Astronomical Union name asteroids and chose names of people who first contributed to the field, which was my case. It was in 1999. And now, of course, we have a lot of discoveries. The number of discoveries have increased a lot thanks to the capacity of the telescopes. And now we also give the names to PhD students, postdocs, and other people who are celebrities who deserve to have the name of an asteroid. So mine is very peaceful. It's between Mars and Jupiter. It's much bigger than me, but it doesn't move much from this region. So I'm a safe guy, I would say.
That's super cool, having an asteroid with your name on it. So do you know if there are any heading in our direction here in Dubai anytime soon?
No. In fact, for all the objects that we know, there is no object that causes a threat over at least the next century. You know, we have the same problem as the weather forecast. Yeah. When we do the computation of their trajectory, we are accurate over a century. Then after that, the error gets too big. But we are following them. So the thing is that we know most of the objects larger than 1 kilometer in size, which is a threshold for global effects on the Earth. And now we're trying to discover all the objects larger than 100 meters in size. And it can take a long time from the Earth, but there will be a space mission normally sent by NASA that will make the job from space over 10 years. So that way we will really know whether there is one of these objects that can threaten us over the next century. But again, the impact frequency plays for us because it's very small. And in parallel, that's predicting. And to prevent the risk, in parallel, we are performing the first deflection test of an asteroid. And that's a collaboration between NASA and ESA, European Space Agency. They have two separate missions. The NASA one will launch this year to make an impact on the small moon of a double system, like the equivalent of the Earth and Moon, but at very small scale. The Earth is 800 meters in size, and the little Moon is only 160 meters in size. And this mission called DART will impact the little Moon called Dimorphos in September 2022 to see if it can deflect it from its trajectory around the central body. And then the HERA mission by the European Space Agency will go on the crime scene and will play the detective to investigate what happened, what is the size of the crater, what is the amount of deflection that was achieved. And with this project, we'll be able to verify whether this technique is efficient, whether we are matured for it. And that way, predicting will be done. Preventing will have at least a deflection test validated. So it will be a great move. And that way we can tell to the people that, you know, this risk is low, but at least we are now prepared before we need it. And the pandemic showed us that effectively for these very low probability things, but with high consequences, the parameters are so numerous and so complex that it's better to be prepared before we need it, because once we need it, it's too late.
Yeah. Well, Patrick, I've certainly learned a lot about asteroids by talking to you. Have a brilliant celebration today, whatever you're going to be getting up to. Maybe play some Brian May guitar solos to celebrate Asteroid Day. But thanks so much for joining us on the show. Real pleasure to learn a little bit more about what's going on up there in space.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Lunch with Lloyd.
You certainly are on this Wednesday afternoon, and thank you for making it Dubai Eye 103.8 to spend your lunchtime with. Film is next up on our menu today, and Hello, Hello is a short film about conversations and connections, starring 18 people of determination from 6 nationalities. And with me right now is the writer and the director, Alba Rose. Good afternoon, Alba. How are you?
Hi, good afternoon, Lloyd. How are you?
Excellent. So tell me, how did the idea for this film come about?
Since we're in a pandemic, and my first project I did last year, right in the bang smack of the pandemic, and I was trying to find a way to do more projects. So this one's about conversations and connections. And I think in times as tough as this, we have started to look at people differently. We've started to use technology differently and keep connections going. So that's where this film's idea came about from.
Now, I believe a lot of the rehearsals were done via the internet, via Zoom, as people were in different countries. Tell me, you know, what kind of challenges that put up for you, Alba?
So one, of course, is scheduling, right? Because I'm working with 18 actors and some of them are in Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and then back in India. So I think scheduling was one of the most difficult things. Also, these schedulings are done by the parents of most of my actors. So it's a little tricky. When you're working with adult actors, you know, it's just, okay, are you free then? All right, let me see you in 5 minutes. Let me see you in an hour.
Yeah.
But when you're working with students and parents are the ones that are communicating or the middleman, it becomes a little tougher. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, rehearsals done over the internet. Give me a little bit of a heads up on the storyline of Hello, Hello.
So the storyline of Hello, Hello is people coming together over phone calls and what relationships build on that. Sometimes you see that you could probably find speaking to somebody from a call center soothing to you. So this film is basically about that. It's about any conversation that makes you feel in a certain way. And it's as simple as, you know, as ringing your friend and saying, hey, I'm there for you. So it's basically that.
Okay, so it's very much conversation-based. I mean, do you think that there's enough awareness in this region towards people of determination? And, you know, have you learned from this experience in making this film?
So there is a lot of awareness. I feel like I haven't been to any place that is as inclusive in their structure as I have in Dubai, in UAE. I've been a drama educator for 10 years now, and I've been a special educator for about 6. Mm-hmm. So I've come to learn that Dubai is very inclusive. While having said that, I feel like performance spaces are not as inclusive as I would like for them to be. You know, I feel like performance spaces need to find it in themselves to be a little bit more accessible, wheelchair accessible,
yeah,
and things like that. Yeah. So, yeah, while there is awareness, I feel like we need to start, you know, making conscious decisions when we're building spaces.
Has it been a very rewarding experience for you making this film?
It really has. It has won. It makes me very happy to see actors on stage who would otherwise find it very difficult to find the kind of exposure that any neurotypical finds quite easily. I'm a part of the Dubai's theatre community, and it's very easy for me to call up a friend and say, hey, you know, I'm doing this play, or hey, would you be in my play? Something like that.
Yeah.
But for a person of determination, it's not that easy. Not so many people are signing on People of Determination. So I feel really blessed when I see them up on stage, and they actually see themselves up on stage. You can see it in their eyes, mm-hmm. How they feel. So that's nice.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. You know, what have the actors gained from this? And I'm sure they're very, very proud of their performances.
Yeah, they are. Their parents are really proud. I think one of the most important things is that when you're working with people of determination, it's a little trickier to do live performances, because that would mean memory, that would mean space, some, you know, so all of those things have to go into consideration, which is why I decided to move to the medium of film, because then we are, you know, the kings of our time, and we could move it, we could edit it, we could, you know, do whatever we like with whatever we're working on. So I think parents, yeah, I think kids are doing really well. I think all of my actors are really enjoying it. They're very excited to see themselves up on the screen.
Well, we're very excited as well to see them on the screen. So the big question is, where can we see this film?
At the Junction tomorrow at 12:30 noon is the screening for the very first time. I do plan on taking the film into schools and institutions as an awareness program. So that is something that's coming up next. But yeah, immediately you could book your tickets on Book My Show. We have a screening tomorrow at 12:30 at the Junction.
Okay, that's excellent. Well, Albert, I wish you the best of luck with that screening tomorrow, and of course for the life of this film, Hello, Hello. Do check it out. That's it. Once again, the director, Albert Rose.